Trump hotels, Trump wine, Trump golf courses, Trump steaks, even steaks. We've heard for, I don't know, the past year and a half or so, how Trump has made millions from his name.
Trump does sound rich. It's almost onomatopoeic. Trump. It's the sound produced when a mouthy servant is slapped across the face with a wad of $1,000 bills. Trump. It's the sound of a cork popping on a couple's champagne-iversary, the date renovations in the wine cellar were finally completed. The very name Trump is the cornerstone of his brand.
In English, Trump connotes, as John Oliver says there, a certain grandiosity. But how does his name translate? And more importantly, what do the translations say about how Trump is viewed in other countries and in other people's minds? Today on the podcast, Translating Trump. I'm Nina Borzucchi.
And I'm Patrick Cox. And you are listening to The World in Words.
The World in Words is made possible in part by the National Endowment of the Humanities, celebrating 50 years of excellence.
So Patrick, I started getting curious about how Trump's name was being translated or transliterated into different languages after seeing the name sign for Trump in American Sign Language.
Oh, right. But what is the ASL sign for Trump?
It's pretty great. The most common name sign for Trump is a curved open hand moving forward towards the front of your face, kind of like you're combing your hair towards your forehead.
Ooh, like a comb over.
It's like, there's actually also a variation that I kind of love where the fingers move forward like his hair is flapping in the wind. It's kind of good.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, these signs aren't without a little bit of controversy within the ASL community. And I spoke with Jamie Fisher, who's been on the podcast before, and she's a teacher of ASL at the University of Pennsylvania, and she also speaks ASL. She is known as a CODA, a child of deaf adults. So she grew up speaking ASL. And here's what she had to say about this.
Now, some people, I think, take issue with that name sign because having a comb over isn't necessarily seen as positive in our culture. So some people fingerspell his name, just T-R-U-M-P, and some people do his initials. But the most commonly used sign is this sort of comb over sign. You know, sometimes these signs that seem to be sort of insulting on the surface are really just descriptive. And it's really important to understand that deaf people are descriptive. And when you see something that is visibly obvious and to use that as the name sign to represent the person, I think is not necessarily intended to be an insult, but is intended to be efficient and descriptive.
Okay. All right. So how hard is it if you want to change the name sign, if Donald Trump wants the ASL community to change the sign, I mean, how could that be done if people already use that sign?
Jamie says, you know, signs come from within the deaf community. So if you're like a hearing person, you can't really impose a sign on somebody else's language. And name signs in particular are pretty hard to change. And she has this hilarious story, actually. So her dad, who's deaf, moved when he was small from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia. And when he moved to Philadelphia, people started name signing his name as Pittsburgh. And so his name became Pittsburgh. And he hasn't been able to get rid of it his entire adult life, you know, so that's his name sign. It's Pittsburgh. They stick. Interestingly, though, I asked Jamie about name signs in different sign languages around the globe, and she referred me to this video that's been bouncing around the deaf internet. It's the Greek sign for Trump's name.
The sign here was having sort of your index finger and your thumb on your forehead, and the index finger was pushing toward the thumb, which would indicate that he sort of had what we might call like a pea brain or a small brain person.
Whether you like Donald Trump or you don't, that's got to be pejorative.
The line between descriptive and pejorative is kind of a thin one.
I'm not sure about that in this case.
Well, what's cool is Jamie described for me several different name signs for politicians of the past, speaking of that thin line between descriptive and pejorative. And one of my favorites was for Nixon. So apparently some people use a name sign that combines the sign for N and the sign for lying. It's pretty great.
So this is like editorializing on the fly.
Yeah, there's a lot of embedded meaning in lots of signs. Hillary Clinton apparently also is occasionally signed the same way with the H and the sign for lying. But most commonly, Jamie said that people just fingerspell HRC. But there's a big debate about like how to name sign Hillary throughout the whole election cycle too.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah, you can imagine signers, like Republican signers versus Democrat signers and all of that kind
right.
of stuff.
She was telling me that actually there's two different ways to sign the word conservative.
Some people would say the sign for a politically conservative person would translate to English as mind closed or like having a closed mind. Whereas other people who may not believe that conservatism means that you're closed-minded might tend to sign conservative sort of in this like shaking of the sea to indicate conservatives. But you can certainly give a lot of insight into what your political leanings are if you sign, you know, conservative as having a closed mind versus just this shaking sea.
And both are accepted signs for conservative.
Both are accepted and used signs in the community for conservative, but based on your political leanings, you would use one or the other.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So you think about sign languages, you know, all the intonation that we use in language that conveys so much meaning, you are conveying it in different ways.
Yeah. Oh, no, totally. It just makes me think, as someone who's learning Chinese at a very, very low level, you know, the character-based languages like Chinese, they've right. got all of this embedded meaning,
right.
which the speakers themselves don't think about very much unless they make a point of thinking about it.
Well, I was curious about like how Trump was being transliterated into Chinese, because I know that Chinese is rife with puns.
Yeah, and a lot of Chinese people right now think, you know, like my Chinese teacher, I mean, I said, what do you know about Trump? And she says, he doesn't like Chinese people. So I don't know if you could kind of try, you know, you could do something, a name of, you know, American politician who doesn't like Chinese
doesn't
people.
Like Chinese people. Well, when I researched what is the Chinese transliteration for Trump, I spoke with David Moser, he's a friend of the podcast and a Chinese linguist, and he told me, and you probably can confirm this, that usually when Western names are transliterated, there's a certain set of characters that are used for the sort of generic.
I could tell you if I knew.
That's what he said.
My knowledge is very limited.
Well, he said what was interesting is in mainland China, the transliteration or the name for Trump is actually kind of boring.
His last name is three syllables, Te Lang Pu. It doesn't really mean anything. Those characters have meaning, but no one associates it. And then his first name, Tang Na De, is just the usual transliteration of Donald.
Mm. So has he come across other versions of Donald Trump?
Yes. According to Moser, there's another kind of sexier version of Trump. And he thinks that it originated, even though they speak Cantonese in Hong Kong, but he thinks it originated in Hong Kong. And
where things are a little bit looser. Still.
Where things are a little bit looser. And it has kind of a clever double meaning.
They use the term Chuan Pu. It literally means river and then Pu, which is the Pu as in Putonghua, the name of the official version of Mandarin that they teach in the mainland. So the joke is Chuan Pu could also mean Chuan as in Sichuan, the province, right? You could also see it as meaning literally Sichuan Putonghua, kind of a derogatory term that they've used for a long time that means bad Chinese they speak in Sichuan province.
That's a lot more fun. That's gaining popularity on the internet.
According to Moser, he was saying he recently was on a TV show that was taped in the mainland, but it was like a Hong Kong TV show, but there were lots of like mainland Chinese. And he said people are just going back and forth between the two different Donald Trumps. So I don't think it's...
Aren't we all?
Aren't we all? It goes even further. So, you know, that's just how people are reading it in newspapers and maybe saying it. But like, you know, online, Chinese netizens are notoriously clever. And he has found a couple jokey versions. And this was one that he particularly enjoyed.
Some people came up with Chuang Po for Trump, which means to tear up the bed or break down the bed, which people thought was funny because he's such a destructive kind of anarchistic person. So it's like Chuang Po, break the bed.
I'm not quite sure what it means, but it's really good.
Yeah, breaking the bed. So there's different versions of names depending on what part of the Chinese world you are talking to. Mainland China, Taiwan, Hong Kong.
In China, it's the Xinhua News Agency that sets the standard. So they'll pick one and then they start using it and then everyone has to use that one. But in Taiwan and in Hong Kong, they don't go by what the Xinhua News Agency says. So they will choose their own, and sometimes it overlaps, but sometimes it won't. So a good example is President Reagan. In the mainland, he was called Reagan, but in Taiwan, and I'm not sure about Hong Kong, but in Taiwan, he was Reagan. And I think that's what's happening with the two Trumps. So I think in Hong Kong, they chose Trumpu, and then the mainlanders chose Te Langpu. But because we read each other's articles so much, people kind of use both.
Wow. Transliteration, it's really complicated.
It is really complicated.
Multi-layered.
And the next example I have for you, I love this example. I was speaking with David Filipov recently. He's the Russian bureau chief for the Washington Post. And he had this hilarious story about how Trump's name is being perceived in Russia.
Well, I was on a radio show, and it was one of those shows when people call in and somebody asks me, does Trump's name mean a woman of loose morals? And I'm like, what are they talking about? And then I realized they thought it meant tramp, like the lady is a tramp.
Tramp. Oh, yeah, the Sinatra song.
Yes, tramp. And that's apparently because there's no U sound in Russian.
Oh.
So Trump in Russian gets transliterated, and I'm going to excuse my bad, bad Russian accent, into Trump.
Oh, that sounded Russian to me, you know?
Yeah, that was really
Trump.
Bad. Trump. And apparently this guy who called onto the radio show to ask David that question, he just knew enough English to know the word tramp. Or actually, he knew enough Frank Sinatra to know the word tramp.
I mean, that's some deep knowledge, right? I mean, like, if you understand the word tramp on the many levels that tramp has, including the kind of racy stuff, I can't imagine for one minute that, you know, Americans or any English speakers would turn around, hear a Russian name, and that would make them think of a Russian word. And, you know, be able to kind of play off of
that. Right,
right. We just can't do that.
And not enough maybe Russian music has infiltrated our pop culture diet. I mean, that's part of the reason why this, like, guy from the middle of nowhere knew, like, this English word is because he knew so much Frank Sinatra. But when I was talking to David, one thing that was really interesting to me is Russian names have a lot of significance.
I don't know if anybody knows what Putin actually means. You know, there are words in that name.
Like what? Like what kind of words? Anything interesting?
Well, Russian names are created from roots and endings. In is an adjectival ending for a male. Stalin. Style is steel. Stalin means the man of steel. That wasn't his name. His last name was Djugashvili. And he took this kind of name on as kind of like a stage name. Put is path, but Putit is also to confuse. You know, when you hear it, the first thing you hear is that. And then Russians who make jokes like to make jokes based on some of these. Pereputili means they got something confused, and that name is in there. You can hear it. Putin. Get it?
So getting back to John Oliver for a moment, you must remember he made this big deal about Trump's ancestral name.
One biographer found that a prescient ancestor had changed it from, and this is true, Drumpf. Yes, King Drumpf. And Drumpf is much less magical.
Yeah, yeah, Drumpf is certainly way less magical than Trump.
Way less magical.
So what's the etymology just of the word Trump?
It actually comes from French.
Classy.
I spoke with David Bellos about this. He's a friend of the podcast. He teaches French language and literature at Princeton. He's also a fair bit of an etymology nerd. He gave me a huge treatise on the word Trump, which I quite appreciated. So he said that it dates back to 1,000 years ago when the Normans conquered a bit of England.
They brought with them lots and lots of words, and one of which is this word Trump or Trompe. I'm not quite sure how it was pronounced in the Middle Ages, but what it meant then was a trumpet, a cornet, a horn, a thing you blow on. It came into English meaning trumpet, and with the verb tromper, meaning to trumpet, to make a noise, and consequently also to fart.
Oh, my daughter would like that.
Going back further, the word comes into French, not from Latin, but actually originally it's Germanic.
And it's assumed that it came into French from a Germanic word, a Frankish word, that the Normans themselves had adopted, because they were of Frankish and Germanic origin, probably an onomatopoeia. That's to say that, you know, if you blow a lot of air through your lips and flap your lips, you go something like trumpf. And that trump, meaning horn, comes from some such source.
Okay, so let me try that. So is it go like this? Like,
that's pretty good. Better than I said.
Okay. President.
Pretty good. So this is not the end of the story of the word. Sometime around the 14th century, according to Bellows, the meaning of the French word trompe changes from to blow a trumpet to make a mistake or to be wrong or to cheat or to deceive. He doesn't know exactly, or he says it's kind of unknown, like how that word changed or shifted meaning, but it did. Then that new meaning for the French word slips into the meaning of the English word as well, because a lot of the elite, you know, in England speak French and there's a lot of exchange there.
That sense remains in English in the expression, you know, trumpery, yeah, which is tromperie, which is deception, or trumped up charges, which are trompé, the false charges.
So that must be where that expression trompe l'œil comes from, a deceit of the eye. I think it's a visual arts term. So like an image that is in some way deceives you, like, you know, M.C. Escher or Salvador Dalí and all of that. Look, what about, like, you know, using a trump card, the card that beats all other cards?
That iteration of the word is a bit of a mystery, says Bellows. But by the 16th century, there are instances of the English word trump being associated with cards.
I mean, obviously, you know, people who play cards often cheat cards, kind of a plausible transition for a word to make. By the 18th century, trump means to win. I mean, it's a winning suit of cards, one that overrules the others, and that's the meaning it's kept down to the 20th century.
Incidentally, and I think you speak a bit of French, but like, I don't speak any French.
I speak a bit of a lot of things, but not much of anything.
But I asked him, is the trump card also trompe or trump? Like, did that word translate, or is it just an English thing, how the word has morphed? And he said, no, in French, the word for trump card is atout, A-T-O-U-T. So that word did not translate.
I wonder whether the presidency of Donald Trump and his just general all-round uber celebrity, I mean, whether this is going to affect all of these words from now on.
That's so true.
I mean, it's bound to in some way color all of these words. I mean, you already see, you know, trumped up, and, you know, that you see headlines that play off of his name and the current meanings. And it's bound to have a lasting effect, you would have thought, on a lot of these words.
Bellows says, you know, it's only a matter of time. I asked him, you know, in the French press, are they playing around with the word tromper? Because it still means to cheat, to deceive, to lie, whatever. And he's like, it's a matter of time before they pun on that word.
For sure, yeah. So he's got it all, really. You blow a horn, fart, deceive, win. I mean, he's all set, however his presidency turns out.
It's a simple monosyllabic name, but it has infinite riches in it once you bring it into contact with other languages.
She gets too hungry for dinner at 8. She likes the theater and never comes late. She never bothers with people she'd hate. That's why the lady is a tramp.
And that's all for this week.
If you have a funny story about how Trump is translated into any other language, you can email us. That email address is language@pri.org.
Or tweet at us. We're at LingoPod. And as always, thanks so much for listening.
Won't dish the dirt with the rest of the girls. That's why the lady is a tramp.
The World in Words is made possible in part by the National Endowment of the Humanities, celebrating 50 years of excellence.